Welcome to the Mormon Medium Podcast, where we'll talk about spirituality, the paranormal, religion, and my journey in becoming a Mormon medium. I'm Nanette Ride. Thanks for listening. Now let's go have some fun. Don't be afraid.
Welcome to the Mormon Medium Podcast. I'm Brad, and I'm here with Nan, the Mormon Medium.
Hey, I hope you had a great week. Did you have a great week?
I did actually have a really good week, Nan, and I'm excited for today's show because we are going to talk about a trip we took to Alcatraz, right?
Yes, and Alcatraz, if you don't know what it is, it's a small little island, 1.25 miles off the shore of San Francisco, California. So I don't know if you know this. I mean, you and I both know this because we've been there, but it actually was a lighthouse, a military fortification, and a military prison before it became an actual prison.
Yeah, before it became a federal prison.
A federal prison,
for the United States.
Yeah, and actually my grandfather was stationed there, and that's where he met my grandmother.
Oh, that's super
cool.
Not
on Alcatraz, but right there.
But in San Francisco.
Yeah, during the war.
That is super cool. Yeah, the... Obviously, Alcatraz housed some very famous inmates like Al Capone, Machine Gun Kelly, the Birdman of Alcatraz, who you hear so much about.
And the waters around Alcatraz are pretty treacherous and they're shark filled. So it's not something you're going to want to go swimming in. Although there is that swim club.
That's true. That's right. We saw them when we were on the wharf, right?
So we were visiting San Francisco, just the two of us, and we love to just walk around and talk to people. And
I had a photo shoot.
No, there was a guy that was having a photo shoot. But so there's this swim club where people actually swim there in the channel, and it's freezing cold water. I don't even know how they can do it, but they do it. And right there on the beach was someone having a photo shoot, and me and Brad are just walking by holding hands, and I double dog dare
Well, it okay. So, first of all, you have to preface this with San Francisco is the coldest place anywhere.
Well, the wind
it is
never
freezing.
Stops.
Well, and the humidity and the fog sets in. It's so cold.
It's cold. It gets you.
So, it was one of those cold, blustery evenings, freezing. And there's this dude standing kind of by the water's edge with the shirt off, acting sexy. And
yeah, the sun's just starting to go down. So, it's getting cold.
Yeah, it was chilly.
And I double dog dared Brad to go run down and stand by the guy and get his picture taken with him. And he did.
Oh, yeah, totally did. Tore my shirt off, ran down next to the guy, stuck my gut out as far as I could, put my fingers in my belly button.
He did.
Very sensually.
He actually did. There's probably something out there with Brad and this guy.
There's some crazy picture somewhere. Because the photographer just kept going and was laughing and thought it was great. And then we parted ways. And
oh, no, you drew a crowd first. There were people like taking videos and they were all standing around watching and laughing. It was hilarious.
That's true.
We get into all kinds of trouble when we're out and about.
I think it's mostly because of the shit you get me into.
I just double dog dared you. You did not have to do it.
Well, obviously I did a double dog dare. Hello. Come on.
It was such a fun trip.
So it really was a fun trip. But so, yeah, there is a club, though, that swims in the bay there, and it's freezing. But we went to Alcatraz Island. You know, it's historical, it's interesting. It's not often that you get to go into a prison and see the inside of a prison or a former prison like this one. So it's a really cool experience. If you haven't gone, I highly recommend it. It was a really interesting historical trip. But beyond that, it was kind of a ghost-filled trip.
Oh, it was super spooky. I just don't even know how
to... I don't know that you can say it was super spooky.
I think we felt more than we saw. And we did like the tour. You put like a, like headphones on, and you have like a little thing that speaks to you. And as you go through each cell and like solitary confinement and all those things, it tells you, you know, who was in this cell and what happened here and all those things.
Yeah, it's super cool because you put on the headphones, it'll say, walk to the north. You'll see a window at the end of this hallway. This is the window that provided light to, you know, whoever it was or whatever. They tell you a little story. They would have voices of people who actually worked at the prison. So some of the correctional officers, they actually had former inmates who talk. It's really cool the way they do it. So it's an audio tour and you just wander around. So the whole place is very quiet because everyone has these headphones on and they're listening to the tour and just wandering, you know, from area to area as they're being told what's happening.
Right. And you can also go out on the grounds and it's just breathtakingly beautiful out there. And it has a lot of the remnants of the old original buildings and stuff that are out there with, you know, a lot of things overgrown on it. And it's just, it's beautiful. And there's the beach and like all of the seagulls and everything.
Well, it's not like a beach. It's rocky and nasty.
Well, yeah, but it's still the ocean. I mean, it's beautiful in its own way, but it would be horrible to be an inmate in there and be that close to something so beautiful and not be able to touch it, or to not be able to, you know, you can see the city actually and not be able to hear the music or hear the people or smell the food or, you know,
yeah,
all the things. It would be just torturous, I think. As we were going through Alcatraz, there's the cells, and then behind the cells is like a walkway. I hope I can get this right. If you might have to help me explain it, but like you can, there's a door that like the workers would go through.
Yeah. So you have a bank of cells that faces the east and a bank of cells that faces the west. And in between those banks of cells, they have a utility area that houses all the plumbing, the electrical, and yeah, all of those things that go into each cell on either side of the cell block. So that obviously any maintenance personnel can go in and do any kind of maintenance that they need to and still have access to those items. In fact, if anyone has seen Escape from Alcatraz with Clint Eastwood, that portrays how they broke into that utility area to escape through the building.
And from our side, you know, from the touristy side, there's a door that actually has a glass, piece of glass on it. You could see through the door, through the glass, and look down that alleyway, clear down all of the cells, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. And so me being me, I tend to wander.
He does not stay with the group.
Nan's doing her thing. I kind of wander over and I start looking in that room or in the window on this door. And there's a dude in there. And so I'm like, oh, that's cool. And so I put my hands up to the window and look in a little more carefully. And it's a guy dressed in a uniform. I'm like, oh, wow, that's really cool. They put, you know, a mannequin in the prison uniform right in there. And I stick my phone in to take a picture because the door was ajar a little bit and then it had a chain on it. So I take a picture and I look at the picture and there's nothing in there.
There's nobody there.
What the hell? No one was there. And I'm looking around for whoever might be there to see if anybody else might have seen this. Nothing. No one was there. And I was like, oh, shit, that was weird.
Did the guy see you?
I have no idea. I saw the outline of the person. I saw the uniform. I didn't see eyes or face, but I saw
the uniform.
All everything else. Yeah.
Got it.
And if you remember, I came to you. I'm like, Nan.
Yeah.
You've got to come over here. Look in there. Do you see anything?
He did. That's why I remember this so well, because I went over and I looked and I said, no, I don't see anything. But he says, this is where I saw the ghost.
Yeah. And it was crazy. And then we continued on the tour and you go past the solitary confinement cells and, you know, the intensive management type cells. And you walk into kind of around in this big circle and go into the quarters where the guards would be stationed. And there was a mannequin in there dressed in that uniform. I'm like, oh my gosh.
That's what you saw.
Yeah, that's what I saw in there. And so I was a little tripped out because I was like, okay, I'm either losing my shit or I'm seeing ghosts.
You're seeing ghosts.
And so we, you know, from there you kind of go outside and you see what's outside, and we took a breath of fresh air. We took the headphones off. We just relaxed and talked for a little bit, and then we resumed the tour. So Nan, do you remember after we went outside and we came back in, do you remember where we walked from there?
I remember two areas that really got me. The one area where we went into the cell and I could feel the heaviness and I just welled up.
So we walked on the east side of the east side cells from where that utility hallway was.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And do you remember the story from there?
There was a standoff. There were some prison inmates that were trying to escape and they had taken hostages and they actually had shot two of the corrections officers.
Yeah. They actually stole the keys from some corrections officers and broke into their gun gallery and took some of their weapons.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that would be terrifying.
Right. And the whole idea was they were going to escape out of the yard. So the outdoor recreation yard. And the officer, Harold Stites, had the key to the rec yard. Well, these guys took the officers and some other inmates hostage and put them in cells because they couldn't find the key to the rec yard. Well, while he was in the cell, he dropped the key into the toilet so that they couldn't find it and get out through the cell yard, which made their whole escape plan.
It ruined it.
It totally ruined it.
Yeah.
So then they decided they were just going to hold hostages within that area.
So other inmates they were holding as hostages, and then they had these two corrections officers.
Yep, other inmates, and then two officers were killed. One was Harold Stites, and the other one was William Miller. And the inmates shot them. Now, as Miller was dying, he actually was heard. They had a phone in the cell block that they were trying to communicate with him. He was heard saying who he was, that he was of sound mind, and that he believed he was dying. And he actually made the statement that said he was shot with a .45 Colt revolver by a convict, and he named the convict's name, who I positively identify. And so he identified his killer before he died.
Now, didn't the Marines or something have to come in and contain this area?
Yes. So the U.S. Marines came in, helped put an end to everything. Out of the people who were involved, many of them had to get medical care. Several of them died, obviously, you know, the two officers who I'd already mentioned. And then in addition to Officer Stites and Miller, 15 other officers were injured. And of the six inmates who instigated the disturbance, three of them were killed during the riot and two were tried and executed. And then the sixth remained in custody until the 1980s.
And he got released.
Yep.
After all that, I don't understand how he could get released.
Apparently, the court system didn't feel he had as much culpability as the others.
Wow.
But pretty crazy how, it definitely went sideways on them. But what we found out is that cell was literally adjacent to the utility closet where I had seen the officer standing. Yeah, my ghost.
Your ghost. And I remember standing in that cell and feeling that heavy, heavy feeling that made me just come to tears. Like, it was horrifying.
Just, well, you know, obviously gun violence has an impact on you.
Oh, majorly. And this was only 4 years after Corey's death that we were there. So crazy. Ugh. I did not like that cell at all.
No, it was absolutely eerie. You could feel it. It's a very... it's a very heavy place. Look, any prison, though, is a heavy place. I, as you know, not everyone who listens knows, but I started my law enforcement career as a prison guard. And some people will get mad because I said prison guard. It's correctional officer. It doesn't matter. It's prison guard. That's what I did.
You're not uptight about anything police anymore.
I'm not. So that's where I started. And there are a couple of things that every jail and every prison has. Number one, a very unique, horrible smell. Every single one of them smells disgusting.
Really?
Yeah, like sweaty balls and nasty. It's just gross. Here's a better description. Think about an entire locker room full of dirty socks. That's what prisons kind of smell like.
Gross.
It's really weird and kind of a stale, you know, like there's no fresh air. They smell weird.
So there's not good ventilation. Probably not in Alcatraz for sure.
Oh, could you imagine? Yeah, definitely not there. But they all have that just funky smell, and they all have a very depressing feel. Everyone I've been to. And Alcatraz definitely did. There was a lot of very negative energy there.
Oh, I agree. Especially, I remember when we went into the solitary confinement and it was all dark and we had to sit in that for just a second.
Oh, it was cool though. So
no, it was not
so
cool.
So as you go on the tour, they say, this is the cell that the famous Birdman of Alcatraz lived in. and they're like, close the door and close your eyes. You can see, you know, and it's dark. And they said he used to take a button off from his uniform and flip it into the air and then try to find it to keep himself busy. And then you hear on the audio this button flipping, clink, 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 and hitting the ground. Flipping, clink, 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 hitting the ground. So they do a really good job bringing the visual to your mind, even though it's just an audio tour.
And I think we were in there maybe 2 minutes and I had to get out. No way.
Yep. Nan didn't like the small cells.
No. I like literally Brad could touch the sides of each wall.
Yeah. It's crazy because the cells are literally 9 feet by 5 feet. So 9 feet deep, 5 feet wide, and like 7 feet tall.
That's so tiny. Yeah. So are the prison cells in modern day stuff bigger?
Yeah. They were a little bigger than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a ton bigger. They're still pretty small.
Oh, I don't know. That would be horrible.
If you can't do the time, don't do the crime.
It's so true. Do you remember the cafeteria area, how they even still had like what they were serving up?
Yeah, they had the daily menus, and it was very interesting. And look, the first time I went, I actually got to go into a different area. So before you get into where the cafeteria was, there was some stairs that went up into a medical area. And that was interesting because they actually had, do you remember, you always hear about, you know, electroshock therapy and the ice bath therapy. They had a place where they did that up there.
Seriously?
Yep.
We didn't get to see that.
No. It was one of those special tours you pay extra, and it was like the night tour, but it wasn't really night. It was like just as, you know, it was getting evening. But that area was super heavy because you'd walk in there and you almost could just, it was almost painful to walk in. It was so thick with just misery. It wasn't joyful. I like happy ghosts. I do too. So we need to find some happy ghosts that are just enjoying life and partying and left lots of good energy.
I agree. And the cool thing is when we were coming out, they have like a gift shop area where you can get souvenirs and things like that. And there was actually one of the corrections officers that was sitting there, and he had written a book. It's called Murders on Alcatraz. And he was sitting there signing his books, and we got to actually talk to him and meet him.
Yep. And George D. Vincenzi.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. And his book's really interesting. It talks about all those famous people that were in there and his interaction with them and what happened. So I would pick it up if you're interested in Alcatraz.
Yeah, it's just a short, quick read and has some stories that he recalled and was involved in. So it's interesting
Super
to see
nice
that.
Super nice guy.
Oh, he was a great guy.
Well, and Alcatraz also was used in the 60s by the Native Americans. They kind of took it over.
They took it over and held it hostage, essentially.
Yeah. So in November of 1969, the island was occupied for more than 19 months by a group of Native Americans.
19 months?
19 months.
Wow. And what was their issue?
They were part of a wave of Native American activists trying to organize public protests across the United States.
So what was the point of their protests, though?
They believed that the Treaty of Fort Laramie from 1868 required that unused federal land be given back to the Native Americans. And I think that's only right.
That seems fair, right? And so their whole idea there was that Alcatraz had been closed. It was an unused federal land, so it belonged to them.
100%. So 19 months, they stayed there and tried to take that over. It probably was more expensive than they realized, though.
Well, Alcatraz is tough because, number one, there's no fresh water.
No.
So water had to be boated into them. Mm-hmm. I guess they had gardens and things they could have used, but yeah, that would have been a really tough siege of the island.
That'd be so hard. But there's still like writing up on the water tower and stuff from that. I found that super interesting.
Well, and you know, even beyond that, it was about bringing attention to, you know, injustices that had happened in the past, right? So very interesting how this little island in the bay has so much history involved and so many different uses.
And one of the oldest lighthouses, which I think is pretty cool.
That is awesome. Yeah. But that's our Alcatraz story.
Go visit. Highly recommend. Great people watching in San Francisco. So if you want to grab a bowl of clam chowder and some sourdough bread and watch the people.
That's the place to go.
That's the place to go.
Absolutely it is.
Oh, and the sea lions. You got to go see those.
Yeah, Nan, we spent an afternoon eating clam chowder and enjoying the afternoon and watching these sea lions on the wharf.
And they have the best sourdough bread ever. So good.
Something about the elevation and the seawater. I don't know. That's what they were saying, at least.
I think it's a thing.
Nan, are you going to draw a card for our listeners today?
So I have several decks, oracle decks and tarot decks, and I chose from my gratitude oracle. I just was drawn towards that. And the card, it looks like the Tree of Life, but it has like on the left side, it's all sun, you know, kind of fall looking. And on the right side, there's a face and it looks like nighttime with moon and stars. And
there's actually a face on both sides.
There is a face on both sides. It's really beautiful. It's the stability card, but it is the Tree of Life and with the night and day. So the affirmation for this card is, I lovingly create stability in my life and I am grateful for how this makes me feel. So this card basically tells you to develop a routine to help keep your life in balance. So carve out your time for exercise, for social commitments, for rest, for self-care. All those things are important. And if you have a lack of one part, you're not going to be balanced. So keep the balance in your own life so that you have it in other parts of your life when it comes to jobs and different things.
Well, you
like
can't
that.
Help anyone else if you don't take care of yourself first.
And I can't even tell you how many times in the last week I've said this to my clients, you know, put your life preserver on first before you try to help someone else. And, you know, we all have these wonderful, beautiful hearts and we want to help other people, but we got to look inside us first and find that balance. And realize that we're important. So, you know, how we feed ourselves, how we exercise, how we rest, how we spend our quiet time is so important.
Absolutely, it is. And if you guys want to see what this card looks like, we'll go ahead and post that on the Mormon Medium Podcast Facebook page.
If you have any questions, please reach out to us. If there's anything you'd like us to also talk about, or you have any ghost stories, you can reach us at info@themormonmediumpodcast.com.
And if you want to book a reading, energy balance, or even shamanic work with Nan, you can book directly on her calendar through the link in the show notes.
Remember that I do lots of remote work and it's never a problem. A lot of people think that they're not going to get the same kind of balance or the same kind of opportunity. And it is the same, same. You just get a hug when you're here in person.
It's the same, Chris. It's the same.
Oh my gosh.
He knows who he is.
Yes, he does. You just got called out, Chris.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. We really appreciate that you take your time to spend with us. And we were looking, we've got listeners even in Frankfurt, Germany. So whoever you are in Germany, thank you so much for listening. And Australia, we have some regular listeners in Australia as well. Just shout out to you guys who are with us every week. We sure love and appreciate you.
Hey, Frankfurt, Germany. My dad was stationed there in the army back when I was 2 years old. So we want to hear from you. Message us, okay? We just want to know who you are.
Yep, that would be super cool. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And we'll see you
on the other side of the veil.